The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. I'm your host, Rick Thompson. You're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM on Skidmore Radio. Have a very special guest on this morning. We've been talking. The first time I've met Teddy, but we've been talking like old friends here since you came in the studio. And amazing lady, and I'm so glad I got to meet her, Teddy Foster. Good morning, Teddy.
Good morning.
And you are the director of the Universal Preservation Hall. And a former Skidmore graduate.
I am.
And that's great. It's great. Love Skidmore. And, you know, you've done great with the Universal Preservation. And, you know, you're the spearhead of a lot of it. And
thank you.
We can't thank you enough in Saratoga. And I know you've been here since 84, as long as I've been here. Why don't we have a little bit of history of the Universal Preservation Hall?
Sure. So Universal Preservation Hall, which we call UPH now, mm-hmm. was a former Methodist church that was built in 1871 by the Methodists. And maybe many people don't know, but the Methodists used to be really big. That religion was very big in this area up into the Green Mountains of Vermont. Round Lake was their summer camp. Okay. And I know this because my father was Methodist, and he learned how to swim in Round Lake 100 years ago. I mean, it was a long time. But the Methodists built this church, and it's a huge church. It was more like a cathedral because they wanted to have a huge place to worship, as well as they wanted a place to bring famous people of the day in to speak to their parishioners and to the people of downtown Saratoga. So they did. So they built it. They used that building until 1976. And in 1976, they realized, they were pretty smart because they realized that the building was costing a fortune to maintain.
Right.
So instead, they built a new church out on the east side of road of town on the corner of Henning and Fifth Avenue, and they still worship there today. Mm-hmm. So they put our building up for sale. And it was purchased by a very small Black Baptist church called the Universal Baptist Church out of Albany. And they were an outgrowth of a church in Albany, and they were going to grow their congregation up here. Well, in 1976, they bought that place for $17,000, which was really interesting.
Yeah.
And they remained there from 1976 until the year 2000. Now, they painted the interior. They didn't have the financial wherewithal to maintain the building. So the building had started to deteriorate and was really getting very, very bad. There were holes in the roof. The buttresses on the inside had fallen off the walls and landed on the floor. There were homeless living in there. There were pigeons living in there. There was everything living in there that didn't need to be. And the building, the steeple was caving in on itself and leaning eastward where they were worried it was going to fall on the rectory for Bethesda Church, which is right next door. So the city condemned the building and the church people were evicted. And so that's when a group of people, I was not involved at that time, spearheaded by a professor from Skidmore named Tom Lewis. He was an English professor. Mm-hmm. Tom Lewis got a group of people together, specifically a man named Jeff File, who was a commercial real estate person around here, and the head of the Preservation Foundation at that time. They got a group of people together, spoke to the church, and made a deal with the church that if they would give them the property to restore and turn into a community cultural center, that then in exchange, we would give the church a chapel that they could worship in rent-free until they didn't exist anymore.
Well, that's good.
So they agreed to that. They got a group of people together. They raised $3 million privately and were able to salvage the building. The building was going to be demolished. The wrecking ball was on the way, and they stopped that. And I always think, thank God they stopped it, you know. And the $3 million that they put in wasn't nearly enough, but they were able to salvage the building and stabilize it. So that was, they got that started around 2003, I believe. And then I came on the scene in 2006, and I'll never forget it. Living here and raising my children here, I was always very involved in volunteer activities. Mm-hmm. And I was working for GE Financial at that time, and I was working out of Richmond, Virginia. I had my home here, and I rented a place in Richmond. And I had finally moved back home from that job. This was like 2006. And so I wanted to get involved again. So somebody said, oh, well, let me show you this project that I'm involved in. And I went, okay. So we walk up to this building, which when I say it was in bad shape, it looked like a bomb site. They put a hard hat on my head. And I thought, what in the heck am I doing here? And they took me inside. The building was so bad that they had to build scaffolding all the way from the basement all the way up through all the floors to hold the roof up so they could do work on it.
Oh, my.
And I started to have a panic attack, and I was like, oh, my God, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. And they kept walking me through and showing it, and then my thinking switched to, oh, my God, I hope they don't ask me to be on their board. Please don't ask me to be on your board. And of course they did. And of course I said yes, because I felt bad for them. And so that's how I got involved.
Well, you know, anytime you're there and you're showing interest in volunteering, you're on the board or they make you an officer.
Yeah.
That's how it is. It could be a 500 person organization.
Yeah.
And there's probably like 10 people that do.
Yeah. Well, there that was a very small organization, but I'll tell you. So I helped them raise a little bit of money. They were not professional fundraisers. They didn't know how to design the building correctly. They were just trying to keep it open. So I stayed with them. I did my thing with them. And in 2009, the recession hit. I'm sure you remember that recession.
Yeah.
Well, I was working for GE Financial, and in a nanosecond, they laid off 1,000 of us.
Mm.
Bam,
wow.
With no hope of getting our job back. So here I am. I have no job. I'm stuck on board of this horrible building, and they had a board meeting, and I did not go to the board meeting. And they made me board president.
They made you say, you know what, never miss
this a board. This is the lesson to learn. Never miss a board meeting.
Never miss a board meeting or an election of officers because you're in trouble.
That you're in. So
I just want to note and then continue that Baptist or the Methodist Church, my wife belonged to that as a child, but three generations of her family worshiped there. We're Methodist, and then the new church, I don't know if you've ever been in to the one on Fifth Avenue. Well, when you look at out the big window, there's a cross, and my father-in-law built that cross, and he did a lot of the woodworking. He was a carpenter, and then he retired. He did a lot of the woodwork there, even on that addition they built on after. So my wife, they had a tinge of sourness when they had to leave the church because, you know, when your family, going back three generations, worships there. But they were glad, you know, that it could be used. And now they passed away. But it's what a transformation.
Yeah.
You always walk by there, and I mean, it looked like it was ready to fall down.
It was a bomb site.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
You mentioned the steeple. That was one of the tallest.
It's still the tallest. Thank God we're still the tallest.
That's neat.
It's a shame now with all the buildings going up around us that people can't really see that.
I know.
You know, but it's okay.
Is the bell still there?
The bell is there. The bell was fully restored when we did the restoration. And, I mean, it's a Manili bell. It was cast in Troy, New York in the 1800s. It still works.
Wow.
And I was ringing it a lot, and they cut the rope off, so I can't reach
it. You can't ring it anymore? Well, so let's go back to 2009. You were elected director.
So I became the board president, and it was very interesting because we had no money coming in. We still had bills. I was really fortunate to have wonderful board members who sometimes would just pay the monthly expenses because we couldn't do it. And I just decided I couldn't get a job, so I decided to take this on as my project. And so we did. It was really kind of fun. There was not heat throughout the building. So there was only heat on the first floor, not upstairs. And I decided I wanted people to be able to do weddings there. But it was hard to do weddings in the winter because it was too cold upstairs, right? So we had weddings there. I priced them lower than any place in the market. And I'm proud to say that in the time before we closed for construction to restore the building, we probably had 30 spectacular weddings in that great hall. We even had them in the winter. We had one on New Year's Eve. I don't remember who the people were, but it was so unbelievably beautiful the way they did it with, you know, flowers and little electric votive lights and electric candle, you know, battery-operated candle. It was just beautiful. So that kind of helped us make money. We rented our community room, which is on the first floor. That's now our lobby. It's also a multi-purpose room. But renting that just kept us kind of alive. By 2012... Maybe 2012, I think, we had had a couple of shows. We made no money. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just basically throwing spaghetti up against the wall and hoping something would work.
Trying to keep things going.
So by 2012, my board was really split down the middle. A lot of arguing. Half wanted to shut the building down to close it, and half wanted to keep it open. And so I didn't know much about anything, but I knew one thing for sure, that when you're leading a project like this, you're never remembered for how you start it, but you're always remembered for how you leave it. Yeah. And I knew I did not want to be remembered as the person that failed this project. Yeah. So I talked to one of my board members, Wally Allardyce. I'm sure Wally Allardyce owns Allardyce Building Supplies around here. And he was just always wonderful. He and Sonny Bonaccio were such key people to me in keeping this building alive, because whenever anything went wrong, I was crying to one or the other of them, and they came and they helped.
One thing, moving up here, not being a Saratogian, I came up in the 70s when the city was a little bit in disarray, but I'm in Kiwanis, a service organization, and one thing I found out being involved with the city and being a nonprofit is the Saratogians, this is before the big rush, I call it, in the 2000s, with a lot of people moving in and the condos going up, but Saratogians are the most giving people. For any project, I remember the carousel when they wanted to put it. It was all citizen, basically, money that helped get that done. And they're very giving people.
Mm-hmm.
And the business owners, too. I mean,
wonderful.
They step up.
Yeah, exactly. So going back, I talked to Wally and I said, we've got to do something. I said, I've heard about this guy named Philip Morris. And he's the CEO of Proctor's down in Schenectady, and Proctor's is just this huge Broadway playhouse, right?
Sure.
Really a juggernaut in the region. And I said, I think I'm going to call him. And he goes, for what? And I said, well, I'm going to ask him, I'm going to tell him what we're doing and ask him if he has any ideas, if he can give me any advice and see if there's any way we can do something different and make this thing work. So he said, good idea. So I called, and I called his cell phone number, never expecting him to answer, and he answered.
Really?
I was flabbergasted, and I told him who I was, and he said, how can I help you? And I told him my little sob story, and I said, I'm just calling to see if there's any ideas you can offer me, maybe something we can do that can help turn this turn this project around, blah, blah, blah. And this was one of the most unbelievable days in my life because he goes, well, Ms. Foster, as a matter of fact, we've been talking about your building in our board meetings for the last 3 months.
Really?
I went, what? He said, yes. He goes, we are considering branding ourselves regionally. We'd like locations in other cities and become a collaborative. And we would love to see your building.
So you were doing something right, even though you were thinking that, is it ever going to happen?
I thought it was my last ditch,
yeah.
Right? My last ditch effort. So I said, great. So we scheduled an hour. I gave him an hour in my schedule the next week to come up. He came up with his entire senior staff. They spent 5.5 hours in the building. They crawled over every inch of the building. And at the end, we were like hugging. He goes, we're going to move forward on this. I mean, I started to hear the angels sing over here. The trumpets were playing. I mean, it was just like, oh, my God, there's a hope that this can really work. So then he says to me, well, we have to do 2 feasibility studies before we do anything else. We have to do 1 on usage. So we want to really know if there's a gap in the market here and if Saratogians will come and use this building. We also need to do around funding. We want to know if we have the ability to raise the money here that we need to complete, to do the work. I said, okay. I said, how much does that cost? Looks me in the eye and he goes, $45,000. And I must have gotten turned green and he goes, what's the matter? I go, well, I think I only have about 50 cents in the bank. And he goes, this is not a problem. You're going to raise the money to have the feasibility studies. And I said, I am? And he goes, you are. And he told me what to do. And in 2 days, I had all the money.
Wow.
It was fabulous. So we did our feasibility studies. They both came out really great. And that's when we did a scope of work of what it would cost to complete the restoration of the building. And this is when it got really interesting. So I was, it took us a little bit of a while to formalize. We're an affiliate of Proctor's. They don't own us. We're an affiliate.
Right.
We're part of the collaborative. We have our own board. We have our own nonprofit, that kind of thing.
Your own director.
Our own director, yeah. But they manage us is basically
okay.
What it is. Just like they manage Capitol Repertory Theater in Albany.
All right.
Okay. So all that machinations around that took a little while to get done. But then we finally formalized our affiliation by unanimous vote of both boards in 2015, July of 2015. And I finally got a job again. So they hired me to be the campaign director. I worked in a volunteer capacity for no money for UPH from 2009 until 2015, for 6 years. So that was made life interesting. It was really great to be hired and get a paycheck again.
Oh,
I will
yeah.
say that. Yeah.
And you had to feel good about yourself to get to that point.
Oh, yeah.
I mean
thrilled.
For all that time.
Yeah.
And, when you said $45,000, back in the 2000s, that was a lot of money.
It was a lot of money.
And
yeah.
We look today, $45,000
right.
isn't a lot. But back then, I mean, it was.
Yep. Yeah, it was. So then that was 2015, and then we started on the design of the building. We kicked off our capital campaign to raise $4.3 million beginning of 2016. And we reached the $4.3 million goal. And then he looks at me and he goes, it's not enough. We need 5.5. I reached that goal. That's not enough. I need 6.8. I need 7.7. And he was like the master of the moving finish line. I was like, Philip, what the heck?
What are you doing?
What the heck? Well, in the end, I'm very proud to tell you, Proctor's never gave us a penny. They gave us systems and procedures and expertise.
Right.
Right? But in the end, my team and I ended up raising $14 million to restore the building.
Wow. Well, you know, Talk Saratoga could get 2.3 if you want to help out the show.
Well, you I'm kind of busy right now.
But yeah, but you know, you probably could do it because that's a lot of money to raise.
It was a lot of money. And I will tell you, the generosity of Saratogans who believed in this project and believed in it enough to invest in it and become a partner with us was just mind-blowingly beautiful. I am so grateful to everybody, and they're all partners with me in the history of this building that truthfully was going to become a parking lot.
You know, if there's, I mean, there's people like you that do things like this, but for you, it has to be so satisfying from what you started out as and to reach those goals that you did. I mean, you're an amazing woman.
Well, thank you.
You really are. I mean, what you took that building from with dedication, no pay, up to what it is today, it's amazing.
You're
amazing.
It really became a labor of love for me. And I never, you know, once we hooked up with Proctors, we had them in the scene. I would say to the board all the time, I would go, you know, here's the deal. We used to be the kid on the street that had cooties. Now we're the kid with the new swimming pool.
That's right.
Because people wanted to know more. They became energetic again about the building and wanting to know more and wanting to become involved, whether it was a financial level or as a volunteer or as a board member or as a supporter at a fundraising event. It was just really wonderful. My belief never faltered. I knew we were going to do it.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't have put all your life into that if you didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you put a lot of yourself into
that. Yeah. It was really interesting. We had a fundraising event during the campaign and where we invited people in, we had a cocktail party, and then we took them upstairs. This is before we were restored. And there was nothing upstairs. It was this big room. So we created a vision of what the performance space was going to be like with lights. So we did lights. And so we had, I don't know, it was probably 100 people, 150 people upstairs. And we had a little stage set up in the center of the room. We were mimicking the theater in the round. And we sat the people all around. It was freezing up there. We had fleece blankets for all the women that they could put around their shoulders. And we weren't letting them out, right? And so we got up there, and as soon as everybody sat, the room went black. And then a light came on, and there was a trio on the stage, and they played a song with just white spots on them. And then they got finished, and the lights went black again. And then the voice of God, we call it, they go, and ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Philip Morris. And then the lights came on, and Philip is standing on the stage. And he was so amazing because he really painted the picture of what this place, all it could be. And when he would move his arm, he would sweep his arm and point towards the balcony, lights would come on. And then when he pointed his hand the other way in what we call the apse, where the organ used to be, lights would come on. So they really got a visualization. And then light went black again. And the next thing happened, Sonny Bonaccio was on the stage with him. And it was, Sonny was my campaign chair, because he was on our board. And the two of them did an old-fashioned fundraising gig where they walked the stage and pointed to people and said, what will you give? What will you give? What will you give?
Oh.
Well, it was really interesting. Everybody was a wreck going into this because you need to know you have money in the audience, right?
Sure.
So we were trying to raise $800,000. And we only knew 20,000 was in the audience. So this is our shill, right? So they point at this person, and he stands up, and he goes, I pledge $20,000.
Wow.
And he sits down, everybody claps. And then Sonny and Philip walk the stage, and within a minute, hands started going up, 50,000, 100,000, you know, all over, 2,500, you know, all of them. And in 30 minutes, we raised $800,000.
My goodness.
It was unbelievable. And then at the end, we said, okay, go back downstairs and have another cocktail.
Yeah.
And they did. They went downstairs where it was warm and we had music playing.
And then come back up and get your fleece blankets and we'll start this all over.
It was wonderful. It was just, you had to just believe. I knew it was going to happen. I just felt that it was going to
sure.
work. Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to take people like that to raise money because
mm-hmm.
they draw on those people.
Yeah.
I mean, they can draw them into the that. Because in the summertime here, we have all kinds of benefits, and they raise a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, people are generous.
Yes.
Now, you know what's really neat is that you're off-Broadway, and you still get the big crowds for your performances. And people think you have to be on Broadway. That's a mentality, I think, here. You have to be on Broadway or you really don't do the business. But you get people, because of the parking and because of Broadway, they can walk, they can go out to dinner.
We're in the heart.
Over.
We're right in the heart of downtown Saratoga.
Right.
Within walking distance of everything.
Yep.
So that's it's a great location, really.
Yeah.
We've been hindered a little bit because of all the construction on the Adelphi right now.
Yeah.
And the road is down to one lane, but that'll change soon. It's really not hindered us, you know, but it just makes it hard to see the building.
Oh, yeah. Well, I told him my wife took her brothers a year ago, December, there, and no problems.
Yeah, I mean, there's no problem.
And if people are wondering where this is, if you know where Starbucks was,
and it is going
Broadway,
to be again.
And it will be again on the corner of Washington and Broadway. It's just up the street.
Half a block.
Half a block
yeah.
away. So,
right,
I mean, that gives you some, if you
yeah.
didn't know where it was, that
yeah.
that's exactly where it
yeah.
is. Yeah, that's been a long time going, that project.
It's
going
to be a
Adelphi.
Magnificent project.
Oh, it will. Mm-hmm. It will.
Yeah. They're right on top of us. They come right up to our property line in the
they
back.
Do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's really becoming, we moved the main entrance. Maybe I'm jumping ahead, but
no, that's what we'll get back to that again, too. So.
We moved our main entrance. We don't use the original front doors of the building anymore because we needed a bigger lobby area on mm-hmm. the inside. So now we ask people to walk up the driveway on the right side.
Okay.
We put on a beautiful modern glass atrium on the outside of the building, and that's where people enter. There's a box office there, and the box office is a beautiful historic reception desk that used to be in the Adelphi. But we've created a mid-block alley, which is kind of cool because you can access it from Washington Street, you can access us from Division Street, and we have an easement, a right-of-way from the parking garage at the corner of Woodlawn and Division.
Mm-hmm.
You just follow the steeple. You just walk towards the steeple right to the back of 18 Division Street, and you come right in, and there's the lobby right
okay.
there, the atrium. So that's worked out okay. But the Adelphi, with the huge Adelphi building there,
right?
It looks like a city alley now. It's starting to look like that. But I'm sure they're going to make it beautiful with lights. They're going to have, on the first level, we'll have lit marquees with our shows. It's going to make it look
nice.
Really nice.
Yeah, and that's, like you said, that's good because the parking is behind
yeah.
that. So really, when they
mm-hmm.
park, they can walk in and see that.
Right.
So that's easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So going back, so we started our capital campaign. We raised all the money by the fall of 2018. In 18, we had eight companies bid the job. Sonny Bonaccio resigned from our board after the campaign, and so his company could bid the job. We had eight companies bid the job. Sonny won that bid outright, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started in the fall of 2018, and they told me it's going to take a year to do. I'm like, yeah, right. Yeah, I knew what that building
sure.
was. And we didn't know what we were going to run into, right? So, but anyway, that building was done in January of 2020. We had our grand opening of the new building on February 29th of 2020, which was a spectacular night. We opened with Roseanne Cash, was our performer. Fabulous night. And 10 days later, we got shut down because of COVID for 2 years.
So I was going to say that. I mean, I think March was when
March 8th or something like that. It was 10 days. It was devastating.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, you know, I told you before, I drive a school bus for upstate, and school ended March the 15th, and I can always remember that day because of the Ides of March, but that's when schools closed, and that devastated the country. I mean, it was so bad, especially
arts venues took a huge hit.
Sure they did.
Huge hit.
Yeah.
We had to lay off 90% of our workforce among the collaborative. Really horrible. I mean, I sat in that building by myself for 2 years again. And, I mean, I think I cried for 3 months after the building got shut down.
I was going to say, you had to sit there and cry after all the work.
I sat in the building and I cried because I was like, how could this possibly be happening? We finally did it. We finally got there.
Yeah.
So, but I choose not to think about that anymore.
Right.
Because we're kicking butt right now, and we're back to where we should be.
Yeah. I was going to say, some entertainment venues still have not recovered. The movie theaters still haven't recovered to get their audiences back to the way it should. So with you getting back overwhelmingly, so that's a testament.
It took a while, though, because then through COVID, we had to wear a mask. You had to have your temperature taken. That's when you see the public's true face come out, when they're asked to do these things or to comply with this. Interesting. You know, check their COVID card and all that. but we made it through all that. And then we were, the obstacle that we faced was performers that we wanted to have at the hall, they had other commitments to fulfill from COVID.
Right.
So we couldn't get them. So our first year and a half or so of programming was maybe bands that weren't as well known. We just kept putting on shows. A lot of people didn't know these people. We got some good ones, you know.
Sure.
But it's interesting. So we started to do other kinds of things. But then last summer, we had Opera Saratoga was in residence with us for a couple weeks, and they're coming back again this year. And after Opera Saratoga came, we don't do a lot of programming in the summer because that's SPAC's time.
Right.
We leave them be. And we do rentals and maybe a show or two shows or something like that. One summer finished, we went into our fall season. We had a really kick-ass fall. We had Paul Reiser, we had Chris Botti, we had Samara Joy. I mean, we had Jim, we had all these people, Jim Brickman. It all of a sudden, it just changed. All of our shows started to sell out, and I'm very grateful and proud to say that they're still selling out, which is great. Not
sure
everything, but mostly everything. You know, we do a world music series that is usually very small audiences, but we like doing that to make people aware of other music in the world. We're about to kick off a new series, and I'll tell you more about that later. Be interesting to see what the attendance is on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know you said last night you had a performance, and it was a tribute band of Fleetwood Mac. And that's awesome.
They were fabulous. They're called the Seven Wonders. It's the second time they played with us. We sell out that place. And our room holds 700 people.
Right.
We sell out standing room only both times. That place, that hall was rocking last night. It was great.
I can imagine. Well, I put a plug in for what I'd like to see there, Queen. But, you know, I don't know if that'll come. But
I don't do the programming.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
So I have a programming team at Proctor's. And they handle it. I'm part of that team, but
I just put a bug in your ear.
You can do that.
You know, going back to when you made that phone call to Philip, you know, if you did that today, you probably wouldn't have gotten to him like you did, because you really don't get through to people much today. You have to press one or two, and then they'll get back to you as they can. So you struck gold when you made that phone call.
It was serendipity. It was meant to happen.
Yeah, it was.
It was absolutely meant to happen. Thank God.
Yeah, I know. Really. Really. I mean, in hearing your story so far, things were working out every step of the way.
Every hurdle. We've been through a lot of hurdles with this building. Every hurdle we've overcome, which is, you know, when we come up against something that's really tough or something that I think we can't get past, I just go, another. We have to do this again. Yeah. But we suck it up and we just go at it head on and we manage to overcome the hurdle. Yeah. Usually in the most gracious way, which I like that part.
Yeah. Well, here again, I mean, I'm going to say it a couple more times before the show's over. It's a testament to yourself your dedication.
Thank you.
I mean, I didn't know you before today, but I always read about you, and we're on Facebook, and I wanted to get you on here so bad because, you know, you're a pillar of Saratoga.
Thank you.
You really are. I want to get now into a few things here, question and answer period, and then we'll get back to some more of your story.
Okay.
We have about 15 minutes left.
Yeah, I told you I'm a good talker.
You are a great talker, and people always say they can't talk for an hour, and I love it because you know what you're talking about,
and
you're good at
it. It's my shtick.
So, yeah, really. all right, so we said, what is the Universal Preservation Hall? And that's a historic performing arts and community center, and you offer year-round. You do cut back in the summer because of SPAC.
Our July is usually Opera Saratoga, and that's when we do our education program.
Okay.
We have a two-week workshop for middle and high schoolers called Rock Camp. And it's a camp that specifically teaches these kids how to be in a band and how to relate to each other in a band. It is so fun and so fabulous. We've done it. This is our fourth year now, I guess. We have about 24 kids that show up. They have to be able to play. They have to audition. They have to send in a tape. But a wonderful man named Crispin Catracalla, who was a music teacher in Boston Spa for a long time, and he also is a musician and gigs all over the place. He's our dean, and he sets the curriculum. And the thing that I love about it is he gets performers, local performers, to come in and teach the kids for a day. So like Lori Friday from Super 400, Garland Nelson, Jay Yeager, you know, Steve Candlin, all these people will come in and they'll take a day. And the kids, they learn so much. And when they start, the first day they start, they're scared to death. We take them up to the big hall. We put them on the main stage. And they're just shaking in their boots. And by the time the 2 weeks is over, we have a big concert at the end. They're like shredding it up there.
That's
great. Awesome. So that's what we do in July. We do a little bit of programming, a lot of rentals in August.
Sure.
So
one of the things you touched on when we were talking before the show was that you offer some Skidmore students a chance to get involved, to help them. They have a great theater program here,
right,
by the way.
Well, we have a really wonderful affiliation with Skidmore Arts Administration here under the head of Professor David Howson. So David will bring his class a couple times a year to UPH, where we walk them through the building and show them the building, talk to them about what it's like to work in a nonprofit. And they're usually amazed because, I mean, I have a very different background than my operations manager does, than my production manager does. And I find that it's really helpful to them to see that, you know, if you say you want to work for a nonprofit, it's not just pick A, B, or C.
Right.
You can do a lot of things. And and then they get to learn about the restoration of the building, and we play music for, we give them a music and sound show and light show. It's wonderful.
Yeah,
and then they have the program is, so anybody that's in the Arts Administration class, if they want to earn a credit towards their grade, they can come in and volunteer at UPH. And we ask that they do 10 shows. So they come in. It's really a lot of fun. It's very easy. They can usher. They can work the concession. They can be a greeter. They can scan tickets. But then they get to stay and see the shows for free.
That's neat.
So it's been really a really, really nice collaboration.
A win-win for you.
Absolutely.
And for the students.
Real practical, fun experience.
Why don't you give us there's three floors.
Right.
And why don't you tell us about the floors?
So the main floor, the ground floor, is where you would come into the building, and that's where the lobby is, that's where the bathrooms are, and where the VIP lounge is. the VIP lounge. It used to be the chapel. You go up to the second floor. The second floor is basically the main stage floor. The third area is the balcony. So if you have a seat in the balcony, that's really the only reason why you go up there. But so that's how we delineate it. We also have a basement floor,
okay.
which nobody needs to go down except for staff.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, it's called, the second floor is the Great Hall.
The Great Hall.
And that's where you have the performances.
Correct.
And the parties, the weddings.
We'll be in the Great Hall. So the interesting thing about UPH is we kept it as historic as possible. So we originally, our first business model was going to be, we thought we could do two things at a time. We could do something upstairs and something down in the lobby, which we also call the community room. Didn't work because of a sound issue between upstairs and downstairs. We, in order to have made these floors separate from each other so that we could do two things at one time, we would have had to rip out the historic floor and pour concrete, and the State Office of Historic Preservation wouldn't allow us to do that. So we changed our model. So when you have a wedding or you have a gala or event at UPH, you get the whole building.
Oh, neat.
Which is really nice, and it works for a lot of people because they can have cocktails downstairs. They can set up like an auction area in the VIP room, and then they go upstairs. Weddings do the same thing. Sometimes we have weddings downstairs, and then they go up for the reception. You can do anything in the building. It's very versatile.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. Now, anyone can rent the hall.
Correct.
And if there's, I know, you know, you have different fees. If you have a large group, can they get a discounted fee?
We discount nonprofits.
You discount nonprofits. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's really neat. I'm just trying to look here. You do take volunteers too, don't you?
We love volunteers, and we're trying to grow our volunteer team. our volunteers are what really makes that building hum. And whenever I do a curtain speech before every show, and I always remember to thank the volunteers, I ask the audience to give them a big round of applause, because without our volunteers, the shows wouldn't be able to happen. In order to have a show in that Great Hall, I need a minimum of 35 volunteers a night.
Sure.
Because there's so many entrances and exits, and then we need people downstairs, you know, so it's a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just like SPAC. I don't think they could survive if they didn't have the volunteer staff that
they couldn't.
Did.
No. We have, at UPH, we have 5 paid staff. And when we have a show, anybody else we need from a staffing perspective is supplied by proctors. But then for the feet on the ground, working with the audience, the front of house kind of stuff, it's volunteers.
Okay.
And I have my operations manager does a fabulous job of working with the volunteers and coordinating them.
Okay. Now the Gray Hall can seat 700.
700 in the round.
And the community room can hold up to 150 guests.
So we do a comedy show there once a month, and we seat about 150. About 150, 160. We've done weddings in there and sat 160, okay. 170, something like that.
That's neat. And do you still have the chapel for the Baptists?
No, it's interesting. We took care of our little congregation for about 16 years. And they relinquished their space 2 summers ago. It was a really emotional day.
Yeah.
But they were just down from 24, they were down to 2 members.
Oh.
They had been Zooming with their congregation in Albany all through COVID, and their health was declining, and they just felt that that's what they were going to continue to do, and they gave us the room.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it worked out for them for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and they
it was
still,
nice
you know,
of you to
a couple
do.
Of them will come to shows, so it's nice.
Yeah. Now, if people wanted to give gift cards, let's say for performances, mm-hmm. you offer that?
Yes, we do. Our box office is not open during the day. It's
okay.
only open on show nights. We open it about an hour before the show.
Okay.
That's easy to do. Or people can always call the Proctor's box office mm-hmm. and get a gift certificate.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's good. Because they make good gifts. You
yeah,
know,
they do.
And
yeah.
Can use them anytime.
Yep.
You can. Okay. Yeah, they make great gifts. So that would be a good Christmas present, birthday.
What my family gets for Christmas.
Yeah.
My family and friends all get gifts.
That's the way. Well, you know what? I should do that, too, because my wife loves going there with my daughter. And when I'm busy, that's when they usually choose the nights to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's interesting. Why don't we talk a little bit about, because we have about, let's see, 8 minutes to go.
I'm from downstate. I can talk really fast.
No. eight minutes is fine. Let's talk about some of the events that are coming up. And, you know, we got a lot of them.
We have a lot of them. Next Friday night, our St. Patrick's Day offering is going to be a fabulous all-female band from Canada called Leahy. They're wonderful, and they will be in the house next Friday night at 7:30. Starting on April 19th, I mentioned earlier that we were going to start a new series. Well, we're calling it In the Round, and it's a pretty exciting series. It's singer-songwriters that are right on the cusp of really becoming famous, and we're kicking it off on April 19th with Kimbra. And I don't know if anybody knows who Kimbra is, but Kimbra sang on the song called Somebody I Used to Know with Gautier. And she'll be performing that there, but a lot of her original songs. So that's really interesting. The second one will be May 17th, and it's Jocelyn and Chris. Jocelyn and Chris are this fabulous rock group, and they're going places. And so they'll be there on May 17th. And then on June 14th is the third in the series, and it's with Shayna Steele and Buggy Jive. And Buggy Jive is a performer from Albany, and if you have ever heard him, he is so amazing. I'm not familiar with Shayna Steele, but Buggy Jive is awesome. On April 26th, we have Sean Colvin and KT Tunstall coming in. That show is going to be a great show. It's well on its way, selling out. And we just went on sale for the public yesterday for Lyle Lovett and Lisa Loeb, who will be at UPH on May 2nd, and that is about to sell out. We are almost at 500 tickets sold.
Wow.
So if anybody wants a ticket, they should get it.
That's amazing. And now you also have, I see here, and I don't know if it's still the Army Jazz Ambassadors.
The U.S. Army Jazz Ambassadors is coming. I believe it's April 20th. That show is sold out. It's sold out almost instantly. Very excited to have them there.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. And they always sell out no matter where they go.
Yeah, it was
the
amazing.
The Army band is amazing. The couple that you said, they sing Someone I Used to Know.
Yeah.
Now, is that a cover from Natalie Cole? I think, I don't know.
It's a different song by Gautier. And she won a Grammy with them for that. She's won two Grammys.
Oh, wow.
Kimbra did. And and she's on that. She's on that sound. It's so interesting. I was listening to it the other day on Spotify, and I asked, I put in her, and then Gautier came up, and I'm thinking, what's wrong with this stupid thing? And then I read it.
So that's it.
Yeah.
Now, you also have the Schenectady Saratoga Symphony Orchestra?
Yeah, so the Schenectady Saratoga Symphony Orchestra has recently joined as an affiliate of Proctor's. And so they perform at Proctor's, they perform at UPH, and they're performing at Zankel. So I think the next show coming up is at Zankel. And then I think it'll be at UPH after that. But they're a really wonderful orchestra. They come to us probably 3 or 4 times a year at UPH, get a good crowd, and they're known for their Christmas show, which is called Poinsettia Pops.
Okay.
It's a great show, and we decorate, the entire hall is decorated in real poinsettias. I mean, it's amazing. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, holiday times festive anyway, but in the hall, it must be beautiful. Now, if somebody wants to find out details on running the hall or for reservations, is Karen still
Karen,
the contact
yeah, you can
person?
Contact Karen Good. It's kgood at universalpreservationhall.org.
Okay.
You can go right on our website, and you can find out information there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a form you fill out. You complete that, she calls you, or you can absolutely call us
and
ask.
I know the number I have here, if it's still It's 518-382-3884.
Yeah, that's Proctor's main office, and they'll bring it. They'll send it to us.
Okay.
I would also like to plug a fundraiser I have coming up, if that's okay.
Yeah, plug anything.
It's the 9th annual Shaken and Stirred Celebrity Bartender Party. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year. It's held at Saratoga National Golf Course from 5:30 to 9:30. And businesses from around town compete to see who can raise the most tips for UPH. There's no cover charge, no ticket fee to get in. It's all about the tipping. And we have lots of different activities to do at it. It's so fun. I will tell you, we usually get 600-700 people come to this, and it is a blast. So May 16th, outside, going to be beautiful on the veranda and the patio of Saratoga National.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, you've got about a minute and a half to wrap anything up that you want.
So if you're a horse racing enthusiast, we haven't made it public yet, but with the advent of the Belmont coming, UPH is going to have viewing parties. We're going to have three watch parties, and the first one is going to be on Derby Day. Second one, which is May 4th. Second one will be Belmont Day, which is June 8th. And then the third one will be on Traverse Day, which is August 24th. And we're calling it Horsing Around at UPH. You'll be able to buy a ticket, come in, get a reserve seat. We have a 24-foot movie screen that comes down. It will be spectacular. Our bar will be open. We don't have a kitchen, so we're bringing in food trucks to be out in front. So you can easily get something to eat, come in and go. And I like the fact that we have the food trucks, because then the public will be able to get something to eat, because I presume, especially on Belmont, the restaurants are going to be overflowing.
Oh, my gosh. I would
But
say.
That's going to be... So take a look for that, Horsing Around at UPH.
All right. I want to thank you, Teddy, for being on today.
My pleasure. I love it.
You're an amazing
person. So nice
person.
To meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Teddy Foster from the Universal Preservation Hall, a year-round entertainment venue. And they're located on 25 Washington Street. Their phone number is 518-584-2627. Or you can email anytime at info@proctors.org. And it's wonderful having you on. We'll have you on again later in the year.
Cool.
And